Alrighty, my friend. You know I am obsessed with health and wellness hacks, right? Using my Plan to Recover journal, I have automated over 15 new vitality-boosting behaviors over the last 3 years, and none of them have been more transformational or effortless to implement than LifeWave's phototherapy patch. The X39 phototherapy patches promote healing by using your body's heat to activate stem cell regeneration. How awesome is that? These tiny patches are clinically proven to restore the body to a level of health that you may not have seen in years. These patches are a result of 80 studies and over 20 years of research. X39 patches are wearable technology, easy to apply to clean skin as part of your AM routine or your PM routine. Personally, I have experienced a more youthful complexion, mobility, and energy levels that I haven't seen, honestly, in over a decade. My arthritic pain and stiffness decreased dramatically in less than 48 hours. Absolutely life-changing. Additional health benefits may include better sleep, shorter recovery times, pain relief, improved energy and vitality, reduced inflammation, and much, much more. If you want to learn more about LifeWave's X39 patches and the many other therapy patches they offer, check out our episode with Darlene Green and IamReverseAging.com. To learn more about my personal experience, check out our YouTube channel, Direct Impact Podcast. Now, don't forget, head to LifeWave.com/AndreaEpting. That's LifeWave.com/AndreaEpting to buy your patches today and support this podcast. Welcome to Direct Impact, where we discuss the various ways our mental health and quality of life intersect. I'm your host, Andrea Epstein, licensed professional counselor, master's addictions counselor, and certified sex therapist. Think of our time together as focused self-reflection mixed with insight, passion, and empowerment. Now, take a deep breath. Now let's dive in and see what impacts you today. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is your host, Andrea Epting, and you are listening to the Direct Impact Podcast. We are going to identify six ways we react to trauma. And this season, as you know, we were talking about betrayal trauma. So I'm going to make it more specific to somebody who has just experienced discovery. So they're early on, post-discovery. How might they be responding to their betrayal trauma? And we know that this is also exacerbating in a very big way, exacerbating, magnifying, and shining light on old wounds as well. Okay, let's talk about it. In the book by Patrick Carnes, it is called The Betrayal Bond. Excellent read, excellent book. I recommend it for everybody to engage at different times of their recovery process, maybe not week one, but once they have entered into a healing journey and established care and a good support system to work through their trauma, it is a great book to engage and help you understand someone's wounding and how you might be responding to it. So the six ways that are identified in this book in particular is trauma arousal as one way to respond to the trauma of betrayal, trauma blocking, trauma splitting, trauma shame, trauma repetition, and trauma abstinence. Now, this can be acted out. Each of these can be acted out, and they can manifest in very different ways depending on the individual, depending on their background, depending on their neurological networks and their wiring and their previous trauma. And we can also use multiple things, multiple responses and reactions given where we are post-discovery. Okay, so I'm going to walk through each of these six responses, which we can all expect and we can all anticipate. And to some degree, we can all welcome with open arms because it's going to be part of your healing process. Okay. So trauma arousal, safety seeking. We talk about that a lot in this season on this podcast. So that would fall in the category of trauma arousal. Okay. So you get into this state and sometimes stuck for a prolonged period of time in a state of hyper arousal. Okay. Everything is a threat. Everywhere is a threat. Every time you get in the car, every time you drive past a place where your partner was acting out, every time you come home or you see your partner on their phone or engaging with a member of the opposite sex or same sex if they're homosexual. And it just flies all over you and you live in this constant state of threat and hyperarousal. This is a very common reaction. And I also put safety seeking in this category because when you are on high alert and your nervous system is so dysregulated constantly, anytime you perceive your partner's defensiveness or you experience or feel them somehow disengaging, pulling away, rejecting, denying, there is a tendency to safety seek and to actually pursue the person who is pulling away or becoming defensive or maybe blame shifting and all of these things. So safety seeking and even rage can be a very common response and a very valid response. If we're honest about it, all of these are very valid, unconscious responses to your betrayal trauma. So please meet all of these behaviors that I mentioned today with a ton of grace. A ton of grace for where you find yourself and the way that your body, your nervous system, your physiology has to process and digest the trauma that you have experienced. So that's trauma arousal. And I do like to throw safety seeking and rage and just constant state of dysregulation. Nightmares are going to come with that. Intrusive thoughts come with that. So just know this is normal and natural, especially early on after discovery. The next one is trauma blocking, identified by Patrick Carnes again. And I talk about trauma blocking when I talk about denial. Okay, so if you find yourself, and you will very early on, especially if this has caught you off guard, this isn't a staggered disclosure. This is a bam right in your face, who am I in relationship with moment. Okay, your brain is quite naturally going to shift into a space of denial because you are not ready to process the information that you have just received. Because you know that your whole life is going to be altered and will never be the same. And so you're not quite ready to process that. You're not quite ready to go there. Sometimes this is unconscious. Sometimes it's a little bit conscious. I work with betrayed partners all the time where they're like, yeah, I knew something was going on. My gut was telling me something is off. And I felt like they were acting out again with pornography or, you know, with sex workers, but I had so much going on in my life with either the kids or with school or with my career that I just decided to put it on the back burner because I didn't want to engage in that because, again, I knew what I was going to find and I wasn't ready to really process or deal with that. Okay, that's so understandable, and we would put that under the category of trauma blocking. Another form of trauma blocking would be a lot of numbing. Okay, which is akin to, there's about four levels of, and we won't get into it today, but four levels of dissociation and numbing and trauma blocking is one of them. So finding yourself maybe binge eating in the evening, maybe binging on Netflix, maybe you've increased your alcohol intake, maybe you're, you know, doom scrolling and you're just really not able to engage in social activities, engage in the world, engage in any other relationships. This is trauma blocking. And again, very natural. And you will go through stages of this throughout the healing process. Okay. I would also say that over-intellectualization, which is a defense mechanism as well, analysis paralysis, it might be more of trauma arousal, but I think we can also block out the trauma by overdoing it a tad and just trying to understand what has happened, but you're not going to get a clear understanding on what has happened for quite a while. Okay. So whether you're doing that when you're in a state of hyperarousal and you're analyzing and you're searching and you're seeking and you're over-intellectualizing what has happened, or if you're using that as a way to numb or block, please know that that is, again, going to be a common reaction depending on your personality type. The third one is trauma splitting. And so part of the splitting off, if you will, would be dissociation. And dissociation, if you're not familiar with it, at its deepest state, so if it's at a level 4 of dissociation, it's going to be where you really split off. I've had split off from yourself. I have had partners talk about it as like, I felt myself rise out of my body above myself and look down on what was happening. And this was the immediate reaction of their nervous system, their brain, their body, their physiology when they found out or were confronted with what their partner had been doing and the lifestyle that they have been living unbeknownst to them. And so again, with that type of discovery and that type of disclosure, you can split off. There can be trauma splitting at that time, and you don't feel aware. You don't feel in your body. You don't feel like your brain can really engage or focus, and it can't. So it's a fact, not just a feeling. Okay. So splitting, we start thinking about dissociation and just not being able to process the information that has been received. Not yet. Okay. You will. You will. Trauma, shame. Yes. How can we not carry the shame to some degree of the person who has wounded us? Trauma, shame is a reaction to the trauma, to the hurt. We see it all the time. It is so common, and it is really an unconscious attempt to control or take responsibility for something that you are powerless over. Okay, so we carry this toxic shame that says, I should have done, I could have done, I, you know, something different. If I had just done this, this wouldn't have happened. So you start really putting a lot of the blame on self. You start shooting on yourself. You know, we talk about how unhealthy that type of toxic shame is. We see it with betrayed partners who have been sexually assaulted in their sleep by their partner repeatedly as just part of a cycle. And they carry so much shame about how they would react and respond to this assault. Rape, also in marriages and out of marriages, it is very common to respond with toxic shame. So what happens there is you're carrying the shame for the perpetrator of the offense as a means to try to stop it from happening in the future. And so, yes, let's give ourselves a ton of grace for this response and a desire to protect yourself in the future. But that is another very natural response. There's a defense mechanism that's also called reaction formation, which I think is also birthed out of the shame response to trauma. And reaction formation is where you start to really develop some strong opinions about someone who's been in a similar situation. So you might find yourself in a group or a community of other betrayed partners, and you find yourself really judging them for experiencing the same things you've experienced. And this is a defense mechanism, not uncommon, especially if you're reacting with shame. The fifth is called trauma repetition. And this is when we use the term trauma reenactment. So this is reenacting or acting out the trauma that you have endured. And so this can happen in a lot of different ways. It shows up in your body, It shows up in your behaviors. It shows up in your relationships. But it's a subconscious or unconscious attempt to resolve the trauma. So if you find yourself in a cycle of acting out or a cycle of addiction as a way to better understand the trauma that you have experienced, give yourself the grace. It's trauma repetition. For all of this, find yourself someone who specializes in betrayal trauma and complex PTSD so that you can work through all of this and find yourself in a place of healing and growth and self-love and self-compassion. The sixth and final response or reaction is trauma abstinence. And this is when the pendulum really swings so far the other way that you kind of reject relationships. You might reject your partner. You might swing so far the other way that it's like, you know what? I'm not going to deal with this. I don't have the problem. They have the problem. And so you're abstaining from or completely pushing away all of the feelings and denying, frankly, all of the needs that you have. Okay. So that's also a very common response is, you know what? I'm good. I'm fine. They're the one with the problem, not me. And so I'm just going to completely disengage and not, you know, be part of their healing and definitely don't need my own. And that also can keep people in a very stuck state for way too long, not really able to process what has happened to them and how this might continue to show up in their life if it's not appropriately addressed. So just a quick overview. We've got trauma arousal, trauma blocking, trauma splitting, trauma shame, trauma repetition, and trauma abstinence. And just some examples of how that might manifest in different people once they find and identify that, yes, you have experienced betrayal trauma. I hope this was helpful. If you want to engage with us, please do not hesitate to visit us at www.lightninginabottle.biz and also sign up for our digital course. It's kind of a crash course into betrayal trauma, and we'd love for you to engage with that material and love to help you further if needed. So again, thanks so much, and we'll see you in a few days. Bye for now.
Does anyone else feel like they just earned an extra brain wrinkle? Do you feel like that went by way too fast and just cannot wait till the next episode? Then leave a review and share this episode with a friend, a loved one, a coworker, or whomever, because your valued feedback makes a direct impact.
Thank you for dropping in. Snaps to you, because you have made a direct impact by listening to this podcast. Make sure to follow us on social media and stay tuned every week for a new episode of Direct Impact with Andrea Epting. Here is our disclaimer and legal language. Yes, I'm a psychotherapist, but guess what? I'm not your psychotherapist, and I need to be clear that this podcast is solely for enhancement, education, and entertainment purposes only. It is in absolutely no way a replacement for professional counseling services. If you feel like you need additional support, we strongly encourage you to seek that out today.
Heads Up Guidance Services, or HUGS, is a nonprofit organization dedicated to removing all barriers to quality professional counseling services. At HUGS, all motivated individuals, couples, and families can access the support they need and deserve in an outpatient setting. They recruit dedicated, compassionate, and socially conscious professionals who volunteer their time and specialized skill pro bono. Hugs doesn't work with third-party payers, insurance companies, or government dollars. Rather, they operate entirely with the support of people just like you. To help support Hugs, visit www.headsupsavannah.org.
Hello. Hey there. Yeah, you. The one who's been consuming, absorbing, enjoying, and implementing our weekly content like a ravenous animal and can't wait to get more. We want to give you more of what you crave. So become a supporting member of the show and ensure that the content you hunger for is served fresh weekly. I know. It's free content and we love offering it, but it's not free to create. Only to consume. So please consider our monthly membership offered through Patreon. Monthly membership includes access to useful life-enhancing PDFs with higher-level offerings in the works to include chats with Andrea, customized playlists, and more. Scroll down to our show notes and visit our website at www.lightninginabottle.biz/podcast. Visit us today and support the show.